It's the most wonderful time of the year, with the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you, be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time of the year. It's the happiest season of all, with holiday greetings and gay happy meetings when friends come to call. It's the happiest season of all. But what if it isn't? What if we don't feel happy? What if right now doesn't feel like the most wonderful time of the year? Where does that leave us? Because even in this time of happiness, there is still sadness, pain, suffering, and scariness happening around us and to us. And listening to Andy Williams or Bing Crosby or Burl Ives tell me to be happy in this season sometimes just isn't enough. Because we live in a scary world. Yes, it is Advent and Christmas is coming, but that doesn't mean all this scary, awful stuff melts away. Sure, Advent is a time of preparation, but it's also a time of mournful longing. Longing for God to act when we are afraid. Because even in Advent, I hold my keys tightly in my hand and walk quickly from my parked car to my apartment at night. I check, double check, and triple check to make sure that my door is locked before I go to bed. Because as a woman, sexual assault is something that I fear every day of my life. Anytime I go to a concert or any place with lots of crowds, I can't help but feel a little fear of someone with sinister motives and a gun. Even 7 years later, our country is reeling after the December shooting at Sandy Hook Elementary School, where little kids were gunned down. They were holy innocents of sorts, and this is still a fear that every parent and every child in the United States carries with them to school every morning. This fear is exemplified in the rising profits of companies that sell bulletproof backpacks. Or think about climate change. The earth continues to get warmer. Wildfires blaze. Hurricanes get stronger. Our home is headed toward catastrophic doom. And according to the American Psychological Association, eco-anxiety is a real thing. People have chronic fear of the effects of climate change. And like any person, I worry about my family. I fear for their safety and for their health. For real, we live in a fear-filled world. And so did the people who heard our reading from Isaiah thousands and thousands of years ago. The story of Isaiah comes from the 8th century BCE, in a time when empires in the Near East were rising and falling. Most scholars believe that the prophet Isaiah lived in Judah, that's the yellow up there on the screen, in the southern kingdom where Jerusalem was situated. Now, this small kingdom was surrounded by large, powerful empires threatening to attack and destroy Judah and its people. So in the chapters leading up to what we just heard in chapter 35, there was a lot of destruction and suffering and death. Isaiah was speaking to a people in despair, to a people who were probably afraid, to a people who were wondering where God was in the midst of all this destruction. Isaiah was speaking to a people feeling alone in their big, scary world. And they were in mournful longing, longing for God to act on their behalf when they were afraid. And through the words of Isaiah, God was promising something to these people. God was promising a world changed. You see, God is in the business of flip-flopping. God loves to turn everything upside down because things don't ever stay the same in the eyes of God. So through the words of Isaiah, God was flipping their world around. God was transforming everything that was scary and awful about their world and turning it into something new. The desert wouldn't be the desert anymore. There would be streams of water flowing there. It would be a place where life grows abundantly, a place where flowers grow in bright colors in the sunshine. Now, that might be hard for us to imagine in this season of winter, but think of that super bloom in the deserts of California earlier this year, when seeds that were dormant in the desert popped up to fill a dry, dead place with life. It's this kind of transformation that God's people would see the glory of God. And God promises the same for us. We hear these words from Isaiah to point us back to God's old promises, but also to point us forward to a future transformed. Just as God's people then needed words of transformation, we too need those words. Because God is in the business of flip-flopping, we know that God will transform everything that is scary in our world into something new. God is working to transform our fear and our sorrow into assurance and joy. Now, joy is different from the happiness that Andy Williams sings about. The joy that God promises is everlasting, according to Isaiah. I read recently that joy is different from its cousin, happiness. Happiness is temporary, fleeting, but joy is permanent. Joy is what happens when you've wept and despaired and thought it was all over. Joy comes from God. Joy is God because they are both everlasting. For those who heard Isaiah's words, joy was a world of abundant life. Joy was hands made strong, knees made firm. Joy was being led on a highway home by God. For us, joy might be all of these things. But in this season of Advent, our joy comes from God in the form of a baby. A baby born to poor parents in the city of Bethlehem. We have joy because we know God has already transformed our world once by being born in human flesh. And God will transform our world and us again. Because remember, God is in the business of flip-flopping. God will turn everything upside down for the better. So thanks be to God for turning our fear into everlasting joy. Amen.